The companions had gathered outside the arena. Doc captured Ryan's attention, but spoke to the entire group.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. The fair Lady Eleander has brought something to my attention that I feel should be shared with the rest of you immediately.
What, that she found out you're nutty over her?
That is beside the point, John Barrymore. What she has brought to my attention is that in addition to all the beneficial drugs and medicines made by Baron de Man, there are also operations within these walls which produce the more sinister variety of stimulants and narcotics, such as wolfweed, dream, and jolt.
I knew it! There's no way someone operating out here alone could be so altruistic.
He did a good job of hiding it.
He uses the medicines as a cover for his drug operations. With every shipment of insulin or penicillin that goes out, a package of jolt or dream goes along with it.
So anybody wanting medicine for their veil has to take the bad drugs along with the good.
That's sort of how it works.
We kind of suspected that, and it's why I want to leave as soon as we can. But why are you telling us this now?
Robards produces a drug called Bang that I think the Baron is still unaware of. I know Robards has plans to overthrow the Baron and take control of the Ville, and your arena challenge might be a part of his plans.
That seals it, then. Forget this stoop challenge. We leave now. Screw the ammo.
Ryan nodded his agreement. He had seen plenty of internal power struggles turn ugly, and he didn't want to get caught up in one here. He yelled over in Baron Demand's direction.
We're out of here!
Hold on there, Ryan. We had an agreement.
Well, we changed our minds.
Oh, and here I thought you were an honorable man of your word.
Talk is cheap, Baron. Your sec chief told us we could leave anytime we wanted.
I'll have to have a word with him, lying like that. Next he'll be stealing and cheating me out of my jack.
It probably already is.
Perhaps, but this isn't about my sec chief. It's about you. If you leave now, I guarantee you won't be getting very far, especially without ammo.
We'll take our chances.
But I want you to stay.
Too bad. We're leaving.
Demand shook his head, and as he did, Secman appeared behind him. A moment later, Secman appeared on the wall surrounding the arena. Finally, a pair of Secman showed themselves on the tops of nearby buildings, each sporting a long blaster with a scope pointing down at the group of friends.
Perhaps you didn't hear me.
The Baron bared his teeth in a smile.
I said I want you to stay, and it is my vill, after all.
The door leading into the arena opened up on the friend's right.
All right, Baron. We'll do your challenge. But not with those toys you showed us last night, but with real blasters.
None of the friends blinked. However, a few of the assembled Secmen gasped and muttered in protest. Ryan had not only anteed up, but he'd raised the stakes to a level that most of Baron Demand's Secmen weren't exactly comfortable with.
Bravo! But that won't be necessary. I want to test your group's skill against that of my Secmen. I'm not interested in losing Secmen for the purposes of entertainment. I think we'll stick with the paintballs this time.
Ryan didn't want to step inside the arena, but they were surrounded by the Baron's Secmen, and there wasn't anywhere they could move to without getting torn apart by a hailstorm of hot lead. Their best chance was to partake in the challenge and hope an opportunity for escape presented itself while they played.
All right, we'll play your game. But after we win, we walk out the front gate of this ville with your blessing. Agreed?
Oh, absolutely.
The friends headed for the open door that led into the arena.
One last thing. I'm afraid you'll have to give me your weapons. We can't have you tempted to use them during the challenge.
Fuck you. The blasters stay with us.
Oh, I like your spirit, JB, but you haven't changed my mind. Air-powered guns only inside the arena.
What about your sec men?
The rules apply to them as well, of course. And you'll be free to check them and their weapons before we begin.
Doc and Jack can hold our blasters, then.
Of course. Whatever you wish. I assure you, I already have more than enough blasters for all my men.
Of that, Ryan had no doubt.
All right, people. Give your blasters to Doc.
He looked at the old man, but said nothing while he and the friends put their blasters in the care of the time traveler.
I assure you, my captain, I will guard these blasters with my very life.
I prefer you guard them with your Lamar.
As you wish, Ryan.
Doc, Jack, and Eleander collected the friends' blasters, then headed for the seats where they would watch the contest. The rest of the friends reluctantly entered the arena. It had been modified slightly by the Baron's Secmen, and now featured several wooden buildings and ramps that would be useless at providing cover against blasters in the Deathlands, but gave solid protection against the paintballs used inside the arena. Mildred observed her surroundings as she walked through the recently erected structures.
It's a little like a maze.
Plenty of places for sick men to hide.
They walked into the center of the arena, where there was a large open space and the dirt on the ground was level. The walls surrounding the arena were now topped with spectators. Most of them were people from the Ville, workers in Baron Demand's laboratory, but there were still Sekhmen scattered throughout the crowd. The few permanent seats set up around the arena were taken up by whitecoats, who obviously enjoyed special status in the Ville. Ryan noted that there were no addict muties in the crowd, and wondered what it would take to get them streaming over the wall into the Ville. Robards followed the group into the arena and joined the friends in the center. A Sekhman assisting Robards came up behind the Sek chief, pushing a wheelbarrow containing a steel strongbox. Robards opened the box and handed a blaster to each of the friends. Christy and JB hefted some of the paint blasters in their hands.
Should they be this light?
It's not loaded. When the balls go in the hopper, it gets pretty heavy. Best to keep between 1 and 2 dozen balls in the blaster. More than that, and you won't be able to move the blaster fast enough.
Robards handed blasters to Ryan and Mildred. Then the Sek chief went back to the wheelbarrow and picked up several sets of plastic goggles.
What are those?
Protection for your eyes. The balls won't hurt you, but if you get one hitting you just right, you could lose an eye. If I was you, I'd be worried about that. Want them?
Ryan just stared at him. They had been in firefights in which hot lead had zinged past their eyes, in front of their eyes, and just over their heads. Now that they were playing a game, protection against water-filled balls seemed ridiculous.
No thanks.
Robard shrugged and tossed a pair of goggles to each of the Sekhmen, then handed them each a blaster. Ryan noticed that the blasters the Sekhmen were getting looked new, or at least better maintained, while the friends' blasters were scratched, pitted, and stained. It was only the outward appearance of the weapons, but if they hadn't been maintained on the outside, then they probably hadn't been looked after properly on the inside.
Mind if my man inspects those blasters?
Not at all.
Ryan looked at JB and flicked his head in the direction of the Sekhmen. JB walked over to one of the Sekhmen, carrying the dirty, well-worn blaster he'd be using in the game. He tested out the older-looking model, making sure the action on it worked properly and the pressure charge on it was full, and didn't bleed off extra pressure with each shot. The blaster responded well with each squeeze of the trigger. Then he tried the Sekhmen's weapon, and although it looked cleaner and newer, it worked in precisely the same way.
No difference in these two. I'd like to check them all, though.
Be my guest.
The Sekhmen gave up their weapons, and JB looked all of them over and compared them with the blasters to be used by the friends. In the end, JB decided to keep his blaster and the one to be used by Christy, but exchanged Ryan and Mildred's for the two best blasters belonging to the Sekhmen.
Satisfied now?
I guess so.
All right then. Here's your ammo.
A second Sekhmen entered the arena, pushing a green wheelbarrow filled with two mesh sacks, one red and one blue. He lifted the red sack first and brought it over to where the friends were standing, then carried the blue sack over to the Sekhmen.
I assume that's more than enough ammo?
It'll do.
Mind if I check the ammo, too?
Why would I mind?
JB dug a handful of blue balls from the Sekhmen's sack and dropped them into his blaster. Then he raised the weapon and fired a line of balls against the wall, putting four blue splotches on the wall with a foot between each one. He walked over and looked closely at the stains, making sure they were just colored water.
Looks all right.
I'm almost offended that you didn't trust me.
We don't trust anyone.
Of course you don't. It's exactly why your little group is able to survive out in the Deathlands, and why the Baron wants you to test your skills against our sect force.
You sure those are the only reasons?
Since you are our guests here, I will leave it to you what type of challenge you'd like to partake in.
You mean we've got a choice?
Well, yes and no. Between Sekhmen, we often engage in last man standing. But since that could end up pitting my Sekhmen against each other instead of against you, your only real choices are capture the flag or covert ops, where you either attack or defend a specific target.
How about we just chill your four Sekhmen and then you can stick your flag up your ass?
Very well, then. You've made your decision.
Let's just get on with it.
All right, but before we begin, there's one last thing.
What now?
Since the blasters aren't fatal, A referee is required to resolve matters of near misses and grazings.
Give you three guesses who the referee is going to be, and the first two guesses don't count.
And I will be that referee.
Ryan just shook his head. He knew that the challenge would somehow be skewed in the Sekmen's favor, but he thought it would have at least been unseen. This had become a farce. But at least the Sek Chief would be in the arena where Ryan could get at him if he had to.
Whatever. Let's get on with it.
All right. Load up and take your positions. The challenge will begin in 5 minutes.
Sherman and Roy took up a position just under a mile from the front gate. They had wanted to venture in farther, but they hadn't anticipated the outer edges of the Ville being inhabited by so many addicted muties. There was no way they'd be able to fit in and mingle among the population. They'd either be swarmed by a gang of muties and torn apart, or someone would spot them and call in demand Sekmen. So they hung back and watched. But even from this distance, it was obvious that something different was going on inside the walls. There was none of the usual activity going on in the Ville, like people moving about or wags making deliveries. It seemed as if everything had come to a stop. Sherman watched the Ville through a cheap plastic telescope he'd found in the ruins of an elementary school in what was left of the pre-dark Ville called Muncie.
Sure would like to know what's going on in there.
Why don't you go down there and take a look around?
Yeah, what, with all those muties all over the place?
They don't look too dangerous.
No, not much. Just the kind that would slice open my belly to eat my breakfast.
So what do you suppose we should do?
Sec Chief Viviani told us to wait for Baroness Lashini's signal, and that's exactly what I intend to do.
What's the signal?
I don't know right now, but I figure I'll know it when I see it.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
You're listening to Black Harvest from the Deathlands series, produced in Graphic Audio. It's a movie in your mind. If you want a Deathlands title and can't find it, call us toll-free at 1-800-670-5220. We have all the Graphic Audio versions of Deathlands, all unabridged for hours and hours of the most daring and exciting listening. And not only Deathlands, there's more. There's the Deathlands sequel, Outlanders, and the great action-adventure series, The Executioner, the Stony Man series, the Destroyer series, the Mac Bolan series, and our newest, the ever-popular science fiction series, Deathstalker, all in the daring Graphic Audio you're listening to now. Watch a movie in your mind. Call 1-800-670-5220. Our number is also conveniently printed on the cover of all of our audio thrillers. If you're on the road for months at a time and want your order to be sent to an oil desk at a truck stop on your route, just let us know, and we'll be glad to ship it there for you. Due to intense violence and sexual situations, Graphic Audio is rated for mature audiences.